Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. And you know what? It is rivalry week. It is, I got a new name for a new game. And see, you got to be a college football addict like me to know that Arizona State, Arizona, you know what that is? The Territory Bowl. A lot of people didn't know that, but it is. It is. I think I found that out. Gosh, I was in Phoenix one time, and I saw a T-shirt that said Territory on it, and I saw both logos, and I asked one of the locals. I said, what's the deal with Arizona State? And now keep in mind, with Herm Edwards, you know, being the coach at State now, that game's a big deal with Khalil quarterback at Arizona. That game's a big deal, so that'll be on later on tonight. But it is rivalry week. It is also holiday football. How good is that? So you got NFL, you know, basically morning, noon, and night on Thanksgiving. And then you got these college games, morning, noon, and night the day after Thanksgiving. And then Saturday and Sunday, you know, you got the NFL on Sunday, which our Redskins won't be playing. And then you've got on Saturday all of this college football. Like, I'm just, you know, starting with the game. The game kicks off at noon, 11 Central time, and it's Michigan and Ohio State. So the prediction segment this week will be all about college football, rivalry. It's just a big deal. And it's all coming to a head as far as the Final Four. And, you know, I think that college football needs to start using a moniker for their playoff. I think college football playoff is not a good one. So, you know, maybe I write the NCAA. You know, I did get, along with super referee Craig Muckle, I did get the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, to come to Prince George's County and the University of Maryland. That's one of my most wonderful accomplishments, getting him to come in and speak to our community. But maybe I need to send him a phone call or an email and say, hey, let's change the name to college football playoff. Just doesn't do it justice. We got a great show today, great show. Super referee Craig Muckle to come back in to talk about the Wizards. And if we got time, because there's so much to talk about with the Wizards, if we got time, then we're going to talk a little Georgetown hoops. Patrick Ewing, and I'm hearing that they got a human highlight reel on their roster. And you know what? I'm not playing the race card. But this whole white men can't jump thing, it's not true. This kid's jumping out the roof, and I'm sure Super Referee Craig Muckle will fill us in on that. And all things Wizards, there's a lot going on with the Wizards right now. They're losers of three out of their last four. There's rumors of blowing the team up. I mean, here's a rumor I heard. I heard they were going to get rid of John Wall, Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, and Dwight Howard. That was the biggest rumor I heard. Now I heard another one, which was they're just going to get rid of one of the backcourt guys and let the chips fall where they may. Somewhere in the middle of that is the truth, and you know we're going to find out you know what happens with that. So we'll be talking with. Let me get into a little pay attention topic, and the first topic, obviously, we've got to talk about this whole thing around, you know, sports gambling. Now, I read an article somewhere that now with this new XFL league coming, that you're going to be able to bet on everything, streaming online, and you'll win the money as you're betting, almost like, you know, renting an Uber car or what have you. So you literally will be able to bet on the coin toss. You'll be able to bet on, I mean, just silly stuff. The first person to 10. Will the Redskins wear yellow pants or white pants? I mean, all kinds. This betting thing is really, really starting to concern me. And I'm saying it now because I think in 2019 you're going to really, it's going to come to fruition. You know, I really hope sports stays pure, because if betting leaks into the game, it's already in it. But if it infiltrates the game, if it infiltrates the game, then we're going to have a serious problem, because now people are going to start, you know, just basically throwing games. And, I mean, look at Pete Rose. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he bet on baseball. So, you know, we gotta really, really – I've been trying to get two guys, Rudy Root-Toot-Toot Marksky from USA Today to come in and talk to us about that. Rudy's been really, really busy and swamped, and I have been able to connect. But I really want to get this sports gambling thing down, because – and it's going to be worse when it leaks into amateur sports. Can you imagine the amount of money that's being bet on the Ohio State-Michigan game today? I mean, that's unreal. But here's the thing. Now you'll be able to bet on, you know, will they dot the I? Will the marching band dot the I? You put 50 grand on that. Like, that's crazy. But people will do it. You know, how many Buckeyes are on the helmet of the quarterback? People will bet on this stuff. Is it more than 50 or less than 50 Buckeyes? I mean, this stuff sounds ridiculous, but the money's flowing and people are doing it. So that's pay attention topic number one. Pay attention topic number two. Washington Capitals. Right now they're 12-7-3, currently second in the Metropolitan behind the C-Bus Columbus Blue Jackets. But I got to tell you what I've been saying, I'm concerned. You know, the beginning of the season, they started off 4-0, and today, or they've now won three straight. So if you take those games away, they're a 500 hockey team. I don't know if there's a Super Bowl kind of, where the rust hasn't kicked off of the, you know, they still got, what do they call it, Super Bowl hangover, Stanley Cup hangover. But the Eagles are playing about 500 ball. The Caps are playing 500 hockey. I do believe that there's something to be said about teams that reach the highest pinnacle and then they kind of, you know, they kind of fall apart. So, you know, the Caps are on a little bit of a streak right now, and they're in good shape. I mean, we know they're going to go to the playoffs. I think what's going to really happen or really tell the story on the Caps and their season is when they get to the playoffs. Let's say they draw a Pittsburgh in the first round. Me personally, I think they get swept. I do. I don't see what happened last year where they just got on a run. Hopi wasn't giving up goals. Ovechkin just was, you know, amazing. And they just had some role players, you know, filling their roles. But I think this season, I just don't see the same edge, the same drive, the same fire. And when that happens, this is what you're going to get. So, keep your eye on the Caps and defending their Stanley Cup. Not sure if it's going to happen. Just not sure if it's going to happen. Let's move to next pay attention topic, the Quince Orchard High School football team finally beat Wise High School. So let me tell you why that's a big deal. First of all, Wise High School in Prince George's County, Maryland, has won a state championship the last 2 years. Okay, they won it the last 2 years. They have beat Quince Orchard in the semifinals the last 2 years. So, you know, Wise is a relatively new school, maybe 10, 15 years old. But, wow, just found out Bryce Harper is going to be the guest speaker on College Game Day today. I wonder who he picks in that Ohio State-Michigan game. And does that mean that maybe he's going to one of those baseball towns? I don't know. Anyway. So, just so you're wondering, because I don't want you to miss the game. Ohio State, they do their traditional walk where they got on the gray sport jacket or the black sport jacket, depending on what class they are, and they dap up Urban Meyer. It gives you chills to see that. So anyway, see, I can't help it. I can't. The college football is just amazing. But anyway, all right. So let me get back to this Wise High School thing, because it's a pretty big deal. So DeLon Parrish, good friend of the show, has done an amazing job with Wise and their football program. But finally, Quince Orchard beat them, and they beat them bad, 31-6. And it's kind of historic because Wise, that 6 points is the lowest output they've had since December 2010, 8 years. And that's the lowest, 31-6. So this was a historic win for Quince Orchard. But congratulations to both high schools, both coaches, student bodies, principals, and administrators for outstanding sportsmanship and, of course, for playing football at its highest level. It was D1 athletes all over the place. And kudos to Quince Orchard for never giving up and fighting and trying to win. And of course, kudos to Wise and their success. I'm sure they will be back next season. Quince Orchard goes on to play North Point High School down in Calvert County. Another, you know, that's going to be another success, another great game. So best of luck to Quince Orchard. All right. Well, I think we are at our actual pay attention topic. And I think you guys probably know what it's going to be. Okay, I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to break it down for you, okay? I'm going to break it down. I'm going to brace you so that you don't have to worry. Go ahead and get your other team. If you're a D.C. native and you love the burgundy and gold, turn up the volume a little bit, because I'm going to put you through this, right? I'm going to get you through it first. They're not going to win any more games. Okay, they're not. Now, let me tell you why. They play the Eagles twice. The Eagles are only a game and a half out of first place. Okay? The Eagles have better players than the Redskins. Loss. They play the Giants one more time. The Giants are getting better slowly, very slowly. But the Giants can sneak up and beat the Redskins. Why? Because the Skins are so unhealthy now, talent level is actually even. And Eli is better than Colt McCoy by far. Win for the Giants. Another loss for the Skins. All right? Jacksonville at Jacksonville? Come on, people. Really? Do you really think the Redskins will go down to Jacksonville and win? That's not going to happen. All right. Then, at Tennessee Titans, no chance. No chance. Mike Vrabel to coach, Bill Belichick coaching tree. Tennessee Titans, they run the football with three different backs. They play monster defense, probably a top five defense in the National Football League. They're not going to win that game. The Skins aren't going to win any more games, okay? They're not. They're going to finish 6-10. Okay, now, are you ready? They're going to need – well, I'm going to hold that. Let's start with the offensive line. So Trent Williams played it with a broken thumb, or, well, they're saying it's ligament damage, which is worse. He had a big club on his hand. He was still effective. But did you hear what happened after the game? Trent has a rib injury, and it was so bad he couldn't get on the team flight back. He had to go to a hospital by ambulance. They got to replace Trent Williams. A left tackle's career is about 10 years. That's it. He's in his 11th. Failed drug test twice. Captain of the team who almost got a penalty the other day for unsportsmanlike conduct. It's time. Neither starting guard, they're both done for the year. They're both done. Now, it's a big drop-off in the NFL. Maybe not in college, but in the NFL, when you go from starting guard to backup guard, it's a problem. The only thing that they have going for them is their center, Chase Rouye, and Chase, you know, kind of a mid-round draft pick, but he's played every game, and he's doing fine. So they have no offensive line. Well, what does that mean? They can't run the football. I mean, hey, get your tissues out. If you're a Redskin fan, I'm sorry. I didn't say this was going to be easy, and I know it's painful, but get your tissues out because Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, in the post this week, said he still beats his kid with a belt and a switch. Why would he do that? Why would he come out and do that? And the Skins didn't say anything. They have no comment on it. I don't understand that one. But anyway, he's lucky to be back in the league. For him to kind of bring that back up again was really strange. So he admitted he still uses corporal punishment on his son. That's terrible. But I can tell you what, it looks like somebody uses corporal punishment on him because he can't run. He is slow as molasses in the holes. Can't cut. He does the jump cut, but he can't cut, like plant your feet and get in a different hole. He can't do it. Capri Bibbs is showing us why he's Capri Bibbs. He's not Chris Thompson, who, by the way, hasn't played all year. I mean, he had one game, maybe two. So they have no running backs. I don't know where Samaje Perine went. I saw him run down a kick the other day. I haven't seen him since. So now if you can't run the ball, that puts pressure on your passing game. Well, guess what? There's nobody open. There's nobody. The only person that's open is Jordan Reed. And Jordan Reed goes down so easy. So what are you going to do? Name me four wideouts for the Washington Redskins. Let's try and do it, shall we? Josh Dotson. Okay, what has he done? Nothing. Name me another one. Exactly. Trey Quinn. Maybe you would name Trey Quinn because he scored in the Cowboy game. He's also Mr. Irrelevant. That means he was the last person picked in the draft. Out of seven rounds of teams picked, he's not good? This guy's not good? That's who scored for you? So that's the offense. Wait. Did I forget something? Colt McCoy. That's your quarterback. And guess what? It's going to be your quarterback. You know why? Because Alex Smith is done. He had a Joe Theismann-like injury, crushed his leg. He's done. 34 years old. Oh, by the way, the skin, that contract was $92 million. He gets 31 of it. Why would he play again? Let me just ask you a question. Just sit back and think for a minute. Could you make it on $31 million right now? Think about it now. I know you got rent and, you know, you got car payment and all that. Maybe you want to take a trip. Could you squeak by with $31 million? I think so. Or do you want to go through the rehab? Not to be able to walk again, but to be able to play again. A little tougher rehab. They have no quarterback. And guess what? There aren't very good quarterbacks coming out in the draft. And there aren't very good ones coming out in free agency. So they signed Colt McCoy through 2019. I think you want to leave that alone and just let him play and get some draft picks and rebuild your offensive line again. That's what you're going to have to do. Flip over to the defensive side of the ball. And I have to do this quick because I know I got to take a break. And I got Super Referee Craig Muckle coming in to talk Wizards, which is another disaster. But let's look at the defensive line. The Alabama boys are good. In college, they were great. They were unstoppable. But in the pros, they're just good. That's it. They're good players. They're big, they're fast, they're strong, but they're just good. But the linebackers are who I'm concerned about. Have you seen Ryan Kerrigan? How many tackles does Ryan Kerrigan? Would somebody look that up for me and let me know? Ryan Kerrigan with a K. He has sacks, but how many tackles? And his effort, I don't know if he's not in shape. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't give effort. The linebackers are okay. Zach Brown Band, he's fine. Mason Foster, they're fine. They're just okay, though. The DBs, we don't have any. We don't have any. Quentin Dunbar clearly was hurt the other day. Clearly. Jay No is not. DJ Swearinger came out after the show and, you know, did a whole lot of cursing. And you know, I'm like, dude, talk, speak the king's English. What are you saying? So I guess he was trying to subtly call somebody out, saying so and so doesn't really take the game seriously. So and so doesn't really come to practice and practice hard. And but I actually think he's talking about the coach. And that's how I'm going to close this. Other than saying this, Dustin Hopkins, even the kicker missed an extra point. I've been saying for years, Tress Way, the punter, is the most valuable player on the team. He is still the most valuable player on the team. But let me close up by saying this coach was the wrong pick. And I think the team has kept him because he's not going to buck up to the owner. He's not going to buck up to the general manager. Why not? Because he knows he's got it good. He's over his head and he knows it. This man should have never been selected and should be fired. And if they don't fire him this year, and I've been saying it, go back, go to my website, extrapointsllc.com. Go all the way back to the beginning of this show, and you would hear me saying, Jay Gruden was the wrong pick, he is not a leader of men, and he should be fired, and he will be fired. He can go call plays for his brother. Whoa, did I leak that out? Uh-oh, sorry. But do they have a pretty good quarterback in Oakland, Derek Carr? Are they struggling on offense? Do they have 5 first-round picks or something like that next year? They're going to totally rebuild that team. The Raiders will be good. The Las Vegas Raiders. Jay Gruden can call plays. I'll give him that. Not very urgency, or with no urgency. But anyway, so I know that was tough for you. I know it was hard. But the last piece of advice I can give you is find another team. The Steelers are doing fine. Super referee Craig Muckle's coming in after this break. He loves the Steelers. Do that. You know, Chicago Bears won with their backup quarterback, Chase Daniel. Do that. You know, hey, the Miami Dolphins have a winning record. They're quiet. No one says a word about them. Do that. Or just get on the bandwagon with the Rams and the Saints and the Patriots and do that. But if you think for 1 minute that the Burgundy and Gold has any shot, playoff, right? You've seen that Jim Mora video. Playoff? You even talk about playoff? It's not going to happen. It's over. They are not going to win any more games. They're not. So I'm going to take a quick break. I know that was painful. And that's why we got to shift gears and talk basketball. Super referee Craig Muckle. So he's going to come in, and I got to grill him too because I'm fired up. What in the world is going on with the Wizards? It's embarrassing. Chuck, please take us out of here. We'll be right back with, is this mumbo sauce? Is it mumbo sauce or mambo sauce? People in D.C. know what I'm talking about. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Money, Chuck. We do need money, but for free. I had the best Thanksgiving. Shout out to my mama. Ain't nothing like leftover mac and cheese and sweet potatoes. Nothing like it. And shout out to my sister, too, because she's in there right beside her. And that food was delish. Shout out to Kennedy and Fallon. So I had birthdays this week. So Kennedy is headed to Orlando next year for a Disney internship. Proud of her. So she had a big birthday. And, of course, Fallon's up at the University of Maryland trying to avoid the Atenovice virus or whatever they call it. So shout out to all of them. So happy birthdays and happy Thanksgivings and all that good stuff. And now, of course, we got to do it. We got to play the music. And it was funny. I was watching WWE the other night, and they played the music of Kurt Angle and his entrance. And basically the title of his entrance music is You Suck. Two words, two lyrics. I can't think of anything better for a referee than You Suck. So but not this one. This one's the best. He is absolutely simply the best. Super referee, Craig Muckle. We're lucky to have him. Are you there?
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
There he is. Gobble, gobble, gobble. So I'm sure somewhere you screwed up somebody's Thanksgiving by making a wrong call somewhere. I know you did.
No, well, did I work basketball? Yesterday I had a scrimmage, absolutely, but I didn't screw it up. But no,
there
you know,
I was
listening to the whole thing, you know, up to my segment, and so you had a lot of stuff there. So let me, if you would indulge me for just a second, I too had a white a birthday this week, and so I want to say happy birthday again to my wife Yolanda, the finest woman in the world, and who had
and
a birthday
super,
the day before
super
Thanksgiving.
Real estate agent. Super
yes,
real
absolutely.
Estate agent,
yes.
Yolanda. There we go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Craig, tell me this.
So,
what is going on? I mean, they're actually getting me interested because of all their drama. So lay it all out for me because, you know, last time we had you on the show 2 weeks ago, we kind of alluded to there was some drama going on. And then I guess it hit the fan. So bring me up to speed and what's going on with the Wiz Kids here?
Tears that the team is just not getting along. And, you know, I mean, you've coached for many, many years, and, you know, it's fine to have some dissension. I mean, look, Kobe and Shaq didn't get along, and, you know, they found a way to persevere.
And they won a championship. Sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, Michael Jordan didn't get along with all of his teammates. At some point, you know, it was my son that reminded me that he kind of did some damage to Steve Kerr when they were, you know, teammates in Chicago. So, you know, it happens when teammates don't get along. But, you know, the bottom line is simply, can you put the differences aside to play a game or play games? And it appears in the case of the Wizards, that's not really been the case. They're taking it onto the floor. And so instead of it being maybe constructive, antagonism, if at all, it's frankly destructive. And, you know, when we talked, when I was on the last time, you know, they just come off a pretty embarrassing performance against Oklahoma City. Which, you know, look, they're not bad by any stretch. I mean, you know, they're certainly in the playoff mix. In the West, but, you know, you got to be ready to play, and they simply were not. Since that time, it had appeared that they had sort of gained some stability. They had started winning a few more games than they certainly had, you know, a few weeks ago. But, you know, again, as I said, this is a compromised Eastern Conference, and there's lots of teams now that can really find themselves in the playoff. I mean, even the Celtics right now are in eighth place. They're struggling for lots of reasons different from the Wizards, largely because, you know, they're trying to reincorporate Gordon Hayward back into the mix after being gone last year and, you know, trying to find his spot with Kyrie and all the other, you know, great pieces that they frankly have. Then you got Toronto, who's added Kawhi Leonard, And, you know, clearly these fit right in very nicely.
Let me ask you this.
Milwaukee's coming up, is what I was trying to say. Yeah.
What about all these rumors? And I didn't realize the Celtics were ace. I think it's because Kyrie spends too much time on his commercials. But anyway, what about all these rumors where it's saying, I'm telling you, I heard a rumor that they were going to take the big four, I guess you would call them, you know, Otto and Bradley, Wall and Howard, take the big four and get rid of all of them. And then
break them up.
It's just going to be, you know, get rid of one of the backcourt mates. And I think it would be Wall, because it seems as though Wall is the toxic one. That's what it seems. But what is the fix here? Like, how do they – because it doesn't – I don't think they're going to go to the playoffs, right? So, first of all, and I always ask this question. I always defend Scott Brooks. So let's start at the head of the house. Is this coach in any danger? Has he lost control of the team, or he's still safe?
Well, I think we've seen more than enough times that the coach is oftentimes the easiest part to, I'll say, address, simply because it's one person versus, in this case, potentially four. I don't quite think, you know, they're there yet, only because I think they have some other issues with the roster. I've said last year that I saw an opportunity for them to trade, John Wall to get Blake Griffin. That's gone by the boards. But getting back to the rumors, they do have serviceable pieces. I would simply say it's my view that Dwight Howard on paper is a nice piece, but he's been around the league now. He's effectively a journeyman, although probably not a journeyman in the true sense, because he's had a better career than most journeymen typically would have. But he's gone places and not fit in for any number of reasons, some of which may be personality, some of which may be simply the kind of game he plays and that sort of stuff. So he's a presence, but is it a fix? I don't think so, given, you know, he's a lot older than he used to be. Let's face it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not even playing. I mean, he's really not even playing, right? So to me, that's easy.
So,
yeah, it's easy to let him go, say it didn't work. But when it gets down to Beal and Wall, now that's not easy to fix, because, first of all, you're talking about huge, those, what do they call them, mega contracts. So that's not easy to fix. For me, it's you keep John Wall, for me, right? Maybe I'm just favored to him, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of think we look alike a little bit. But anyway, I just don't think you're going to win a championship with Beal. I think if you pull around Wall, you could. But if you had to pick between the two, what do you do?
I would, and look, I hate to go against you, but I'm going to. I would rather keep Bradley Beal, because I think –
typical referee.
Well, look, man, you know, I'm not saying I don't like John Wall as a player. I think, number one, you actually could get more for him if you trade him. Number two, if he is the problem – then maybe you need to get rid of the problem. And I think ultimately I see Bradley Beal sharing the ball more effectively than John Wall with the rest of his teammates. And so I think the opportunity to find a spot for John Wall, find a player that you want and go get him. So, you know, that's what I would think. I think Otto Porter is fine. But, you know, the Wizards sort of have a lot of people that look like Otto Porter on their roster. And so,
right, a lot
of
swing guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I agree.
And so I think we talked about that before. So I just think they need to diversify that roster a little bit more to, to get some better pieces, to put a better team together, because, at the end of the day, I'm not sure what kind of bench, they have either.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Now let me do this. Let me shift gears on you because you did mention Otto Porter, and everyone knows that he went to Georgetown University, the Hoya, all that good stuff. Patrick Ewing is back in town. He has one recruiting class under his belt, closely, but I haven't heard them have a big loss. I know they played somewhere in the Caribbean last weekend, which I think is great for recruiting. You know, hey, I'd love to be 18 years old headed to Jamaica. That's pretty good. Heck, I'd like to be 50 years old headed to Jamaica. Just forget that. So what's the deal? Because I'm hearing that there's a human highlight reel at Georgetown now, and it ain't Patrick Ewing. What say you on the Hoyas?
Well, it's funny. I think we all have a bit of a Thanksgiving hangover because I knew I was supposed to be on your show today, and I said, I got to get ready for this thing. Well, of course, what do you do after Thanksgiving? You fall asleep. And so, dinner, you fall asleep. Okay. And so what happened yesterday were Thanksgiving leftovers. And I don't want to pat myself on the back, but since I cooked the meal, it was pretty darn good. And, you know, kudos to your mom for delivering, another good meal for the Howard family. But I digress. And so I didn't get a chance to
Wonder did that turkey
get
come from Safeway,
right, okay.
By the way.
Well, mine did, I'll admit. But this year did. But in any event, so when I was out listening to you, I'm like, oh, I forgot to get ready for this thing. So I was looking up this guy, Mike McClung, or his last name is McClung for sure. I forgot it that quick. But in any event, I'm like, whoa, where'd this guy come from? But he's from Virginia.
Virginia.
City, Virginia. He is Virginia.
Right.
Gate City, Virginia. I'm not sure. Yeah, it had to have been because I'm like, where's Gate City? I thought it was going to be, you know, is it somewhere, is it someone in the DMV I overlooked or someone down in the Tidewater, you know, Richmond where, you know, Allen Iverson used to be. It's from, I should say, you know, down that way. Or Virginia Beach, I probably should better say Hampton out there. But, so I'm like, Gate City, never heard of, but I got to say, this guy's clearly got plenty of videotape on him. So, and in fact, he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Hoyas found
they gave,
him.
They apparently, they gave him some dap on Dan Levitard's show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
on ESPN.
On
so I'm like, whoa. Yeah. So clearly he's got, he's got some skill. Now, will they translate? You know, at the college level, I mean, clearly, I think he's good enough. But, you know, you're not going to be breaking away doing 360-degree dunks all the time because, you know, let's face it, who's going to want to do that on a college opponent? Because, you know, the players tend to be a little better at the NCAA level. So if you do it on them, they're going to look for an opportunity to return the favor. So,
I'm hoping he's
that's a
flash in the pan.
Well, I was going to get to that. I mean, look, at the end of the day, he's the kind of guy that could potentially return Georgetown to prominence. And there's another guy, James Aquino, I think it is, who's a freshman. And they're looking at him as another, you know, high-profile stud that they have brought in. So if Patrick Ewing is able to recruit, Hoya paranoia may not be far away. I think ultimately we're going to see. I mean, this is year two. So I think he did, you know, and this is his first recruiting class. So clearly, let's see what they do this year. And let's give him, you know, another couple of years to start bringing, you know, the kind of players he's recruiting in to see what kind of team they really put together. So, you know, maybe next season and the season after that, we're looking at, you know, Georgetown potentially being a Final Four candidate again. Only time will really tell.
Will tell. I think this kid's pretty good. I mean, I watched him on YouTube, and, you know, when he came on the Dan Levitard show, he kind of, like, got put on the map, and Georgetown recruited him. And, you know, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Georgetown has not been the mecca of basketball for white players. They just haven't. Right now, you could name a handful of guys that were the 11th and 12th man who went on to be congressman and senator somewhere in the D.C. area. But at the end of the day, you know, John Thompson has gone into the farm. You know, he went out and got Michael Graham. You know, I mean, he's
yeah.
He just hasn't done that. He just that's not his script. And the guys after him, Eschrick and JT3 and now Patrick. But I tell you what, you know, I always say that there's power in diversity. And I don't care if they're white, black, or green or gray, Hoya blue. If they got to start winning some games. Now, I tell you, up the Beltway a little bit, I've gone out and seen Maryland live. I'll wait for your comment on them next week. But tell you, they got two bigs, a guy named Bruno somebody. He's pretty good. He was on ESPN this morning with his highlights. And then they got this kid, Chowan, who went to Bowie High School. So I'm like, hey, they got like a Prince George's team with a mix of international players. I think Maryland might be okay in the Big Ten. So we'll see. We'll talk Maryland next week. Hey, your Steelers are winning, so I want to close on that. Who they got this week? Do you know who they got this week?
I do. Denver Broncos.
All right, so give me your prediction right there. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to go to predictions. But tell me, what's your pick for Pittsburgh-Denver?
I do see the Steelers getting a win there. You know, we somehow came back from that nonsense in Jacksonville, which was, you know, pretty much I had given up on the game after pretty much three quarters until all of a sudden Antonio Brown found his way open on a busted play, and all of a sudden we got some momentum. Having said that, I think we go into Denver, a place where the altitude is not treated all of our players well. You know, Ryan Clark had issues a number of years ago. Ultimately, it, I think, started him toward retirement. But let's just say Pittsburgh goes in there, and, you know, we lost the game a number of years ago in overtime on Tim Tebow. But I think we go into Denver this year, and we win a pretty close game, but I think we're going to win it 27-21. Our defense is playing a lot better. Our defense is playing a lot better. I do like what we're getting out of Bud Dupree, who's been a bit of an enigma until the last season, this season here. T.J. Watt has been great. But I think where we're really making a difference, although we're not where I want us to be yet, our secondary play has gotten a lot better.
As Hayden long as they keep Artie Burns on the sideline, they'll be fine.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. He's been looking like, you know, burnt toast, to be frank with you. But Joe Hayden
That's
has
true.
Been a good signing last year. I like what Sensabaugh has been doing. So, you know, so we're doing better coverage-wise. I still don't like the fact we just don't bump and run people. I mean, we just give too many free releases, and that's been a problem. And I'm worried about what happens when we play the Patriots and the Saints later, and I believe in consecutive weeks later on this season. Though, if we can win one of those two games, that'll give me some pause. I'd rather beat the Patriots because they're right behind us for playoff position.
Super referee Craig Muckle, always a pleasure to have you on the show. You broke two cardinal rules, so I'm going to play your music on the way out because you broke two cardinal rules. One, you can never mention Joe Hayden because he went to Friendly High School and scorched me for 50. And two, you cannot talk about the Steelers anything more than 1 minute. So there we go. Right there. So because of that, you'll have to run your
You didn't give me
again.
A time limit.
Didn't give you a time
limit.
You
should have told me I had 10
week.
Seconds.
You got it. We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk some Maryland hoops.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
So we'll see. We don't know about that. We'll see about that. So, hey, let's do our two-minute warning. And right after that, we're going to get into some predictions. I'm going to see if I can find our girl, Fit With Joy, see if she's out there. If she's out there, maybe she can chime in because she always does better at the predictions than I do. It was funny. I was with some people over the weekend, family, and they were saying, hey, when you pick the games, you don't do really well. And I said, yeah, I don't know. And so my uncle told me that I am overanalyzing the games, that I know too much about the teams, and it's messing me up for my picks. I'd be better off just kind of, you know, just, I don't know, just picking and pick them by their color of their uniform. I don't know. So we'll see about that. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to probably analyze it as well. But before I do that, 2-minute warning. 2-minute warning, simple. It's very easy. It's giving thanks, right? So just be thankful, right? Be thankful for all that you had, right? I mean, you had just, when you look back at just your past week, just your past 24 hours, just look back at just this morning and what you've been given, which was the ability to wake up this morning. You should be thankful for that. Be thankful for what you got right now. You know, if it's not what you want or that sort of thing, but it meets a basic need, be thankful for that because you got it right now when you need it, which is right now. And, of course, be thankful for what's coming. You know, and what's coming to me is always good. It may not look like it. Man, it may not look like, how could I get through this? How can I figure this out? How can I, you know, maybe a job, could be anything. But it always ends up for good, you know. And I'm not a big funeral guy. Everyone knows that about me. But I can tell you, most funerals I go to, most of them, at the end of the day, that person's lived a full life, a great life. And it was for good. So don't forget that. Just don't forget that. All of us have a story, and all of us has a plan, and it's for good. So be thankful for the goodness that's coming, right? So that's a 2-minute warning for today on the Extra Points Radio Show. So I think we were able to find Fit with Joy. Let's see if we can cue her music up and get some of these picks going here. We got a few minutes here to get that done. So let's see if we got it. Ah, yes, it still gives me chills, the Olympics theme. Fit with Joy, are you there?
Hey there, Coach. Fit with Joy here, there, everywhere. I will say that I am thankful. I appreciate you talking about Thanksgiving and that 2-minute warning. And just going to put myself in there because I got some great food from your wonderful household of Howard.
Well, good. Well, they'll appreciate that. They're all listening. They appreciate that. Hey, just breaking news. Of course, Texans owner Bob McNair died, 81 years old. And he purchased the team back in 99. He was the original owner. So, of course, he had some controversies later in his ownership tenure, but he's a human being, and so we pray for him and his family. And then former Pitt All-America Hall of Famer Mike Ditka had a heart attack. He is stable and doing well, but our prayers go out to the Ditka family, and I know the University of Pittsburgh loves him and the country loves Ditka. So, hey, listen. It is rivalry.
Wow. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't comment on that and just say just how prophetic. We're talking about being grateful for moments and being with friends and family, and breaking news comes in at that exact time frame. So my prayers are with their family and condolences. As we know, too much, and you went to funerals and people will come and go and just being for moment to moment, just not knowing what's going to happen next. So I would be remiss if I didn't comment on that. So prayers go out to the family.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we got some big games, rivalry week, but there is one game that's not a rivalry, and it's being played down in Miami Gardens, Florida, home of the U. My Panthers, Pitt Panthers. They win this game, they will probably, well, they're already going to the ACC championship game to play Clemson. But if they win this game, they're going to be going to a bigger bowl than what was expected. Miami, a down year for Miami. I think they really need to hire an offensive coordinator and not let the head coach call the plays. I got Pittsburgh going in there and winning that game. I think that Miami is just not the same Miami. We thought they were back. They teased us. They're not back, though. Hail to Pitt. I got Pitt winning that. What say you?
The CFPB, the College Football Bowl poll, has Miami at an 80% chance. I'm going with Miami.
Wow.
The Pittsburgh Panthers are very sweet and have their comeback year. And been able to take down some teams last year that are ranked, and they got themselves 24th now. But I don't think they're going to be able to hold this one out. Rain consumes all, it washes away, it makes things anew, and I think Miami and the U, they're going to take them to it.
You got it. And then what's affectionately known as the Nerd Bowl, Wake Forest down in North Carolina, going against Duke, two highly academic programs going against one another in a North Carolina showdown. I watched Duke last week. I've seen Wake as well. I think this game's going to go down to the wire. I'm going with the Blue Devils.
Wow, that is pretty interesting that it's the Nerd Bowl. I like that you have so much information on different bowls. You talked about Territory Bowl earlier in the show. I don't know much about either team. In the intellect, I do know that much in that respect. But as far as their play on the field, I play a team that was ranked, maybe it was Boston College or something, and it looked like they were holding up pretty well. Maybe it was Clemson, I can't recall. Wake and Duke, and like I said, the dynamic and academics, and then actually the athletics, how that translates. I'm just going to go with Wake Forest in the sense that it just sounds good going against you. And then the fact
there we go.
What are their mascot? Are they the Demon Deacons? They're both devils.
Yeah, Demon Deacon versus a Blue Devil.
Right, they're both evil. So, how do you win, right?
How do you win? That's right. So in the old Oak and Jug, right, the old Oak and Jug game, and they play it for the axe handle in the Big Ten country, Wisconsin against Minnesota, the Gophers, again, a little bit of a down year this year for the Gophers, and Wisconsin definitely falling short of what they normally do. Who carries that axe and gets the old oaken jug? I'm going with Wisconsin in that.
I quite frankly feel bad for Wisconsin. They seem to just always be ranked and have the ability to make it to the conference championships, and that's not going to happen this year. I'm going to go with the Big Ten in that sense and go with the Badgers. I can't say it properly, but I'll go with them, Wisconsin.
All right, so Joy's got the Badgers. So now I'm going to fly out west here onto the blue turf, where 21st-ranked Boise State Broncos are going up against the Utah State Aggies, who, by the way, in my opinion, has some of the sweetest jerseys out there. I love their uniform. People don't know this about Utah State and the Aggies. In scoring in the NCAA, you know who's number one? Roll Tide. You know who's number two? Clemson, and this is points per game. You know who's number three at 27.9 points a game? The Utah State Aggies. They got one loss. They're 10-1, and they lost their first game of the season to Michigan State. So there is absolutely no doubt who I'm picking in that one. Go Broncos. They don't lose on the blue turf. Boise State wins that game. What say you?
That was a good turn of prediction. I thought you were going to go with all those stats that you just relate to me. So I'll just roll with that. I'm going to go with the Aggies, Utah State. I like stats. I like that they can get the ball in the air. I haven't seen Boise State do much. You said they're ranked 24th or something to that extent. I'm just going to go with the
21st.
On that. 21st, right, because 24, right. I just mentioned, was the Pittsburgh Panthers.
Very good. All right, let's go swing over to the Mormon Bowl, where we've got BYU against Utah. This is a big deal in Utah, this game. This is a very big deal because it's basically the Mormon team, BYU, versus the kids that said, I don't want to be a Mormon, but I still want to live in Utah. So this is a big deal. This is a clash, right? It's like the Apple Cup last night. It's a big deal in Washington in the snow. So I'm going to go with, on this one, I like Utah. Both teams are good, but I'm going with Utah on this one. What say you?
That is so intriguing that you said the Mormon Bowl. I'm sure you made that up, or maybe you could tell me otherwise, and then the reasoning behind that. Pretty fantastic. I'm going to go with you on that one. News had it that a gentleman tried to go to an indigenous area in India and lost his life, an American missionary. And so not sure how I'm trying to convert this conversation to that turn of events but currently, but I'm just going to stick with football and not get into politics and kind of what's happening in the world on that end. Just say that. I wanted to put that out there. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with you with Utah on that one.
Very good. Okay, got it. All right, now let's get into the real thick of things here. This is the real, I mean, these are slobber knocker games. So this is the Tradition Bowl. And, yes, I did make up the Mormon Bowl. But this game's all around tradition. It's always the last regular season game of the year for Notre Dame. It is the Trojans, the men of Troy, versus the Catholics and the luck of the Irish. This game's gone down in the last couple of years because USC's been down. But there were years when this game was for the national championship. You couldn't find any two prouder schools than these two. You know where I'm going to go. 8 seasons at DeKalb University, which was the Division III version of Notre Dame, by the way. I'm staying with Notre Dame and the luck of the Irish. What say you?
Right along down with religion. We went from the Mormon Bowl. You talk about tradition, and you're sticking with it. And I know you too, the Catholics. And we talked about Miami earlier with Pittsburgh and your extent with that team and Mike Godfrey. So just all those things and conflicts versus Catholics and all that touchdown Jesus or football Jesus. I never get it. But I'm going to go with the Irish. I'm going to fight along with them against those Trojans. Go Irish.
Well, and don't forget, go Irish. Don't forget that USC will probably be making a coaching change tonight about 1 a.m. Clay Helton will be out of there, so don't forget that. All right, so let's go with I could go Florida, Florida State, but I'm running out of time. But I'll just say this, that I don't want Florida State to win that game. All right, let's go to the Iron Bowl because that's huge. The two hated rivalries in Alabama. You got Roll Tide. They're ranked number one. If they lose this game, I think they stay in the top four and still go to the college football playoffs. But, man, this will be great for Auburn. Auburn, you know, may go to a minor bowl game at best, but this is their bowl game. I think Auburn has no chance. I think Alabama destroys them in the Iron Bowl. What say you?
Well, I'll give a little tidbit. I work for Monumental Sports and Network, and I pretty much was at the concourse for probably a Caps game the other day, and I saw a guy with a Michigan hat on, and he talked about the game, but very, very cordially. He didn't have any venom. I think he even mentioned the Ohio State Buckeyes. And so when I always talk about which team has there's a storied rivalry, which one wins, I think about the guy who poisoned the tumor tree and served time for it. He named his daughter Bear Bryant. I mean, Alabama has been trashing teams, scoring on them. Doesn't matter which quarterback goes in. I think that even though Auburn had Cam Newton, they had all those fantastic comebacks and wins. And the last time I think Alabama lost was to them. But I think that they're just on a run this year. And even if they do lose, they'll be in the college football playoffs. So go Tide, Roll Tide.
All right, Roll Tide. We got two games and we got 30 seconds. D game, Michigan at Ohio State. I got Michigan in that one. And then we got Maryland, Penn State, and I got Penn State in that one. It sickens me to say. You've got 10 seconds. Go.
We're both on the same page on both of them. How about that?
There we go. Michigan
we
and Penn State.
We are on
all
the same page.
We are. There you go. 3:30 kickoff for the Maryland game. Trace McSorley, 3 completions shy of a school record. Hey, appreciate Super Referee Craig Muckle coming in. Appreciate Fit with Joy helping us out with predictions. Next week, we'll do it all over again. So same time, same bat channel will be the ACC Championship, Pittsburgh and Clemson. And as always, the extra point is up.
And gratefully good.
I think this is the part where I'm supposed to hit the button.
Vintage moment in it. In the end zone. Hopkins has the extra point.